This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Sonia here on Joy 94.9, your second breakfast. And in the studio this morning, we have the fabulous Zach Hepburn from the Astor Theatre. Welcome,
Sonia,
to
Sonia, thank
the
you
breakfast.
For having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you finally in here. I mean, daytime, I think normally you and I chat, if we've been on air, it's definitely the sun's down.
It's been in the twilight hours, yeah. But, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of UV rays on the retinas for a change.
It's actually not too bad in Melbourne, to be honest.
Reasonably pleasant.
I've just noticed it. All right. So, look, let's talk about the Astor Theatre. It is the icon of cinemas because it is pretty special having just one screen, having run the way it has, and it's got such a cult following and respect and everything else. So it's been quite a journey. I mean, for you, in your position now, what are you actually involved in there?
I'm the general manager of the location, so I've taken on the reins from George Florence, who was the previous general manager there for over 35 years, and it's a real honour to be able to continue the legacy that George put forward out there, doing repertory cinema in Melbourne the right way on 35mm, 70mm film, and, you know, high-end digital releases. For me, I think that's great that you mentioned in your intro there that it's such a special place. For me, the Astor is really like the crown jewel of cinema locations in Melbourne, and I think it's really important that that's preserved. So I've been doing, you know, a little bit of programming throughout the cinema scene of Melbourne, and when I got tapped on the shoulder to do this, I thought it's such a fantastic location and such a fantastic opportunity. I couldn't say no. I was literally made an offer I couldn't refuse to invoke the Godfather cliche.
Because if you'd announced that you had been offered this opportunity and you hadn't taken it, I am sure that a lot of people probably would have tried to do you harm, Zach.
Yes,
sorry.
Look, it was sort of one of those serendipitous things that just sort of came along at the right time, and it was something that, for me, you know, being such a long-time patron of the Astor, I started to go when I was a kid and was continuing going up until the final film on the last calendar. It was a real honour and a real challenge, obviously, but a challenge that I'm really, really happy to be a part of.
Yeah, cool. Now, the other thing is, how long did it actually run under with George helming it there?
And George was well over 30 years, I believe. Wow. It was around the time of 35 years that he was involved, and, you know, and it was his life. He bred so much great will towards the building and its programming and the level of showmanship that was involved with putting on a single screen show. You know, it's a little bit different to a multiplex in that respect, whereas people come to the Astor Theatre to have an experience. For me, it's a destination venue. You know, it's a place that you go to be actively engaged with the cinema experience. So, you know, you're not looking at your phone, you're not sort of doing all that sort of stuff. You know, it's a very, very, it's a hallowed turf in many respects. So that's something that George was a huge proponent of, and that's something I certainly am, and it's great to be able to continue his legacy.
Now, the thing is, it's the sort of place where, you know, you can catch up with a film that you didn't see 50 years ago because you may not have been around, or at the same time you might have missed a film because they come and they go so quickly. It's the other places we won't mention, but it's good to catch up, and you do the amazing thing of double features. I don't think any cinema in Melbourne does the double feature like you do.
I've always been a fan of the double feature, and through various other programming work that I've done, I've always tried to include a couple of them. I think the complementary nature of them and the symmetry between taking two films that not related, and, you know, we have stuff like, you know, The Avengers 1 and 2, which is, that's just a logical sort of double feature. But then we have stuff like, you know, Night of the Hunter and Blue Velvet, the David Lynch film, and for me, they're two films that have such a great kind of, you know, symbiotic relationship. But, you know, some people potentially put Blue Velvet first, whereas I wanted to put Night of the Hunter first, because Night of the Hunter sort of lays the groundwork for Blue Velvet, and then Blue Velvet kind of comes and does what Blue Velvet does. So it's that sort of, you know, alchemy of the double feature, which is something that I think is, you know, a fantastic curatorial challenge. And I really, really enjoy it.
When I look at the program, because I'm holding in my little hot hands right now, the Astor Theatre program, it is all about almost a discussion, a conversation you would have with another film buff about, have you seen this movie? Or, oh no, but I've seen that one. And to see some of them together, for example, you've got Soylent Green and Westworld as a double feature in July. And it's like, well, yes, that makes sense to my brain for sci-fi and that sort of thing. So for sci-fi lovers, because I do Sci-Fi and Scream on Tuesday nights at 10, of course, there's my plug. For sci-fi lovers, this is also really a good place to look at films that you wouldn't normally see unless it was online.
Completely. And I think, you know, in the age of VOD platforms and you know, very cheap Blu-ray editions of films, being able to see these films, and particularly genre films, being presented in their correct aspect ratio on the larger screen. You know, we're one of the largest screens in the Southern Hemisphere. It's really important to be able to continue that legacy of many titles that, sometimes are relegated to late night television. So it's a really important thing to continue, and it's great that double in particular, the Soylent Green and Westward double, are on 35mm prints, which is, you know, an integral strand within the ASTA. You know, PAL Cinemas and I are very dedicated to maintaining that connection to celluloid, almost treating them like museum pieces in a way.
Yeah.
You know, these are artifacts that need to be preserved and shown attention to by the public.
Yeah, you're like a cinema archaeologist type of person.
That's a nice way to look at it. But yeah, no, we certainly want to champion that stuff.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, now looking at the calendar, it is pretty amazing. So when is it going to reopen?
So we reopen on June 7th at 1 p.m. with an Australian premiere edition of Only Angels Have Wings, the fantastic Cary Grant film. This is a 4K restoration direct from its British premiere. So we wanted to celebrate the opening of the theatre with a classic film. The way I kind of look at the program is there's curatorial strands in it. And what kind of hinges this together is, you know, the classic Astor experience with a classic Hollywood film, our gala film, which we have on June 25th, which is our sort of, you know, we're open for 2 weeks, let everyone kind of re-engage with the building, let everyone sort of like re-establish themselves. And then we have a gala party on the 25th, presented in conjunction with Rialta Distribution for Gillian Armstrong's new film, Women He's Undressed, the documentary on Ori Kelly. And we'll have a little bit of a party after that. So that's a nice way of having a new film talking about old cinema. So it's a really great sort of
connection. And also Australian connection with Gillian Armstrong.
Very close area, local resident as well. So it's a fantastic little thing to do. So that's the sort of strand. So having A Star Is Born and a Marilyn Monroe film on the opening day with The Misfits just sort of made sense. No, so the doors fly open on Sunday, the 7th of June, and they keep going from there.
Yeah. I mean, for queer culture, there's so many good ones in here too. You know, like A Star Is Born, I think that will keep people happy. Singing in the Rain as well.
Singing in the Rain's great. You know, I wanted to really kind of touch on those really almost pedagogical sort of classic Hollywood films.
Sunset Boulevard, of course.
You know, I'm really excited to see Boris Karloff in the two James Whale films of the Frankenstein double feature that we have on the 15th of June, plus down the line through stuff like Big Trouble in Little China and Famine of the Paradise. I'm so glad that I was able to get Famine of the Paradise into the program.
Yeah,
so,
and don't see those very often.
No, so the program also does feature a lot of classic Astor releases, such as stuff like Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, Baraka, and they're both in 70mm. In future programs, we'll also have the return of, you know, perennial classics like The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Blues Brothers, all those favourites, Ghostbusters. So it's a real kind of canon of Astor Theatre favourites that we can tap into.
Yeah, and you've been programming this right up till September. So
we go through to September, and we'll have the new program out a little bit before that.
Cool. Awesome.
And the venue has got so many dedicated fans, and it's really going to be nice to welcome them back into the Astor threshold.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a long break. It was a couple of months,
Just a little bit over a month. And in that time, you know, we're doing a little bit of refurbishment. Mm-hmm. There's no structural changes being made to the building whatsoever. It's going to maintain as a single screen venue with over 1,000 seats. In saying that, we are also just, you know, updating some of the electrical work in the building, updating some of the practices there in terms of, you know, we're going to have a coffee machine installed, new wine products, you know, that sort of Palace Cinema's food and beverage aspect that everyone knows and loves. And we've also got a little bit of work on the paint and the doors and whatnot. So refurbish it just to give it a little bit of a brush of fresh air. So
it's going to look gorgeous, obviously.
Yeah, it's a big job. It's quite an old building, but maintaining that Art Deco aesthetic and that Art Deco vibe is integral to the experience. So it's great to be able to be involved, and God bless ambient lighting. every time you go in there at night and you turn the lights on and you see the flicker of neon out the front and the sort of low amber red light, you know, you do get a little bit of a thrill. So it feels like a cinema.
How old is that sign? Is it as old as the building itself?
That sign is some years old. I believe it's well over 30 years old. It's had different sort of bits and pieces sort of attached to it over time. Initially, there was a larger Astor sign right atop of the building. So neon is a very precarious material. But no, look, that the sign is doing very well, as is a lot of the other buildings. But we're doing some much needed roof work to stop some of the water leaks, damage that occurred, and, you know, just sort of a bit of spit and polish to get the Grand Dame of Cinema back in fighting form.
I'm interested, though, when you were rummaging around, I mean, you must have had to look at the level and standard of safety and everything as far as what the building needed to be fixed up a bit, I guess. Did you find anything sort of exciting?
No, look, you know, I think, you know, it's always going through old cinemas, you know, you always find some, you know, old posters and all. I found a Fez in the wall. Which was curious. But, yes. Yeah, look, no, it's been business as usual in opening up the doors and turning on the lights. Just a little bit of dust. But, yeah. You know, that's kind of a precious material in the cinema realm dust. It kind of gives you that, you know, reek of authenticity.
Yeah, whose dust is it? Exactly. Who does it belong to?
Exactly.
Speaking of something precious, of course, the late and the marvellous Marzipan. Mm. Now, we spoke about it off air, Marzipan, and it is sad that they're not around to enjoy this change. But is it right to ask, will there be another cat, an Aster cat?
I think, you know, an Aster cat is a tradition, and it's something that was almost aligned in the planets, I think, when Marzipan and her previous compartment has also brought into the venue via surrogacy, being astray and just sort of adapted the venue around herself. We're you know, very much open to the idea. If the universe presents itself, we'll take hold of that. And you know, if there is a cat in need and the Aster can be of assistance, and if the time is right, you know, who knows what will happen. But yeah, it's a tradition that I think is, you know, fantastic for people, and we very much intend to honour Marzipan's memory. Whether that be a plaque or a memorial garden or something, we're still working that out. But you know, look, the feline persuasion is something that's always welcome at the Aster Theatre.
Yeah, it was always great. I used to hear stories about how Marzipan, when Lawrence of Arabia was on, the jingling jangling of the camels was Marzipan's bell.
Bring her into action. Yeah. So now look, it's those sort of personal touches which I think people really respond well to, and that's what made the Aster. And it's not just a cinema that shows everyday movies and does everyday things. You know, this is a bit of a unique venue with personality, and that's something that we really want to foster and really want to maintain. So who knows? The future is bright, as I say.
But we don't want people. This isn't like a green light for people to leave cats on the doorstep of the Aster. We're not asking you to give a cat. It's serendipity. If it happens, it happens.
It's the planets must align. The filmic and feline planets must interlope in the stratosphere. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know? We're just really excited about opening the doors again.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. So where can people go to find out about the grand opening? And
at the moment, you have two outlets of information. Mm-hmm. You can go to the original Aster website, which is www.astertheatre.net.au, and you'll get your full program and you download your PDF via there. Mm-hmm. And you can also jump onto the Palace Cinemas website, which is www.palacecinemas.com.au, to find out session time information and pre-book tickets as well. Yeah. This is a sort of new realm for the Aster. You couldn't always pre-book tickets to every session. It was usually only for events or sort of special screenings. We've opened up the floodgates and you can book online for any session in June currently.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we'll go straight ahead.
Very cool. Yeah.
And the other thing that we'll also be maintaining is, of course, the world famous Choc Ice.
We just had a message. Something about ice creams. Yes. Thanks, Tony.
No, the Choc Ice is certainly maintaining and will be, as you can see, if you get a copy of the calendar, it has pride of place up the top to say that by popular demand, the Choc Ice has returned. So never fear, ice cream lovers. The signature Choc Top is still very much at home with the Aster.
I can see it on the roof, sort of suspended on the roof, perhaps as a lighting feature or something.
It's
in the
future. It's one of those old sort of, you know, milk shop.
It turns around.
Yeah, exactly.
Spin slowly.
Like the world. Really happy to be involved and be able to not only give you fine films, but also fine ice cream.
Fabulous. All right. Look, thank you so much for coming in today. The general manager, the curator, archaeologist, everything. Bringing the Aster to the studio this morning, Zach Hepburn.
Always a pleasure, Sonia. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.